Welcome to the CanoeRaceWorld.com podcast, your home for everything related to marathon canoe racing. Now, it's time to get your paddles wet with your hosts.
Welcome back, race fans, to the 2024 Paddlers to Watch episode. This is actually episode 55 of the Canoe Race World podcast. Pretty pumped up because when we did this last year, it was episode 37. May not seem like a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to me. So here we are tonight. I'm joined in the studio with my co-hosts, Rebecca and Ryan. Rebecca, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm having a great time. I think this is one of our, to me, this is one of our signature episodes, so it's super fun to record every year. I'm a little nostalgic missing Kevin tonight, since, you know, he's our founder, and this was the last episode he was on with us, so we'll have to bring it home strong for him today.
Absolutely. Right on. Ryan Matthews, how are you, sir?
I am excellent, and every time you say that, welcome back, race fans, I get a big smile on my face. I can't wait to go over this episode.
You know, it's great doing this because we've started cheating and putting the cameras on where we can see each other, and he's not lying, folks. I saw the smile. It's real, and it's contagious because I'm smiling now. I'm trying not to, but I can't help it. So let's get right into the fun. We've got a really fun episode tonight. One of the joys of this show is that we're evolving constantly, kind of changing how we do things a little bit. Last year, we gave you a top 10. We're going to kind of do the same thing. We've each picked 10 paddlers, but we've kind of lumped them into some different categories. So bear with us along the way. We're going to get this thing fired off with category number one, the young guns, the kids. Fantastic group. Really no set criteria, but we're thinking 20-ish right in that area. And these are the ones that we're watching that make us go, hey, the sport is in great shape. The future is looking bright. Rebecca, kick us off.
All right, so my first one I've got on my list is Kyle Isendorf. I have a little bit of insider information on Kyle, but I think he's going to be spending some time in Michigan this summer and maybe a little bit of time on the farm. He might be learning how to wrangle some hogs too, but I think he's going to come down and learn, you know, try some different things, learn some different skills, and he's already had really good results in some Triple Crown races, and I think he's looking to improve on that this year.
Right on. Yeah, young gun with some already great results is a good way to describe Kyle Isendorf, who's only going to continue to get better as he progresses. All I've heard from Liam is Kyle's in great shape. He's 6'3", he's pure muscle, and he's coming to the farm, Dad. And he's going to be, Dad, can I go down to the farm? Like, can I go work at the farm? And, dude, you're not old enough to work at the farm. I don't think they let, yeah, like, it doesn't happen. So, yeah, no, very excited to see what Kyle does. What's your thoughts on young Mr. Isendorf, Ryan?
Well, Kyle's one we all had on our list. You know, two top 30 finishes in the marathon the last couple of years, and he's, you know, he was 17 last year, going to be 18 this year, if I remember correctly. He's got a bright future. It seems like he gets stronger. Everything I've been hearing, he's going to be putting in a lot more training, and yeah, I'm excited to watch.
Dude, I have heard a rumor as well. Renaud Flajol, is anybody? Can anybody confirm or deny that out there in listener land? Possible pairing for the 120. I'm not sure if that's set or not, but that would be an interesting young team to watch. Ryan, at some point you got to get me like the youth record, like what that time is, because we may have some actual youth teams.
Yeah. If you give me 1 second for the marathon, you're good. Yeah. 15:40:01 is the youth record for the marathon. It's held by Mo Harwood Jr. and Jason Hall.
Okay, Mo and Jason, right on. Well, let's jump into the next one on the list. I'm going to go with one that I actually saw paddle by my house this afternoon, and it's a team. I'm going to go with Owen Trebold and Jake Hartman. Had a chance to paddle with these young fellas, a week or two back on a paddle. they look really strong. They're doing all the right things. They're putting in the time. And the biggest thing is they've got that urge, that hunger. It's the grailing youth movement right now. They were blown by the house this afternoon with look like Fish and Josie Calvin, who's actually a senior. She's a senior in high school in the Stern with Fish, if I saw my kids right. Just part of this movement that has started here in Grayling of recent. So it has.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch them as well. They didn't make my list, but honorable mention. I think, you know, Treebolds are close in my family. My mom is a Treebold. And it's really exciting for me to see two of my cousins' children racing potentially this year. So I'm super excited to see how Owen and Jake progress. And it looks like they're starting out right. They were racing Klondike last weekend. They've been paddling, I think, all winter. So just building up kind of the traditional way where you put the hard work in.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. We got another Treebold on this list, right?
Yeah, I chose on my list Nico Treebold. So Nico, is she just 15 this year?
Yeah, she's a freshman. Yep.
Yeah, she's been racing a little bit. She did Mayo last year, and I think she's looking to mix it up a little bit, and maybe even throw her hat in the ring for the marathon. And it's really exciting to see a young female go for it.
For sure, for sure. And she follows that, like, everybody's sitting here going, no, Nico with Andy, right? Nico with Andy. Well, Nico at Mayo was with Mary, right? She's got all the connections. She's got all the moves. She's an incredible athlete. Like, as somebody who's followed the Grayling youth athletic scene, fantastic runner. And really fun to watch in that aspect. So yeah, it's going to be great to see how she does this year. I'm going to go with Dane Trudgeon next. Dane is one that's been around for a couple of years now. This is going to be his third year potentially of racing the marathon. And as he continues to age, grow, and develop, he gets faster and faster and faster and faster. And it's really fun to see him with that core group of guys. We'll shout out to, like, George Werderich and Kyle Isendorf, you know, and what they're doing on social media and helping the sport grow and stuff like that. They're having a lot of fun is what I see there, is a lot of fun. But Dane is flipping fast, too. Not only is he fun, but he's fast. We weren't going to go to Bel Air, and then there was a chance, like, Liam was like, maybe I'll get Dane for Bel Air. And he would drop me in a heartbeat for a chance to paddle with Dane Trudgeon. I can tell you that point blank. So.
Yeah, okay. It is neat to see the swagger that the under-18 paddlers have right now. They are really, I hope to see that community grow together.
Yeah, that confidence is key, though. Especially as you're learning, because, you know, when you're young, you're going to make some mistakes and during some races, but that confidence just keeps them right back at it. You know, Dane was an honorable mention on my list. He was also a carryover from my last year's list, and he's always got a smile on his face with he's on the shore or in the boat, and like Bill said, he's just flat out fast. He's quickly becoming one of the better Sterns in the sport, and he's not even a legal adult, so bright future.
Who's your other honorable mention, Ryan?
My other honorable mention is Liam Mahaffey. He's got a passion for this that few have right now, and it's exciting to see him grow with every race he does. And I mean, his enthusiasm is contagious. It's the best way I can put it. And yeah, I'm literally looking forward to seeing him race this year.
Liam made my top 10 list this year, and I think, one, I'm partial because he's starting out in the stern, which is where I think all young paddlers should start. So I love seeing that. And two, like Ryan said, just his passion for it and the drive he's had for it. And also kudos to you, Bill, for keeping it fun for him. That, you know, because it's a fine line to walk, to embrace that passion that he has and go with that excitement, but also like kind of leave him a little bit hungry for more so he doesn't get burnt out too quickly. But it's really good to see him kind of embracing that community and get in with those kids that are just that little bit older than him, and also, you know, jumping in with a ton of the adults. And I know Mike had a lot of fun racing with him last year, so I can't wait to see what he does this season.
Yeah, he's fun, right? And I guarantee you when this one drops, his head's going to be so big that it's not going to fit throughout his, yeah, not going to fit through any doors. They might have to build a special room at the school, blah, 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 blah. But no, he's very excited about the sport. He loves to paddle, loves to be out there. I actually got in the boat with him yesterday. We were out in the JD2 and went to McMaster's Bridge, and he held up much better than what I did. And then today he took out his gym teacher / basketball coach. Mr. Anderson bought a JD Pro off of, I think it was Charles Darshan's old boat out of Canada, and is trying to learn the sport. And they got their inaugural tip number one out of the way today. Managed to lose a Vinny's hat, which is his most beloved hat in the whole world. And I was like, dude, Vinny, don't worry. We'll talk to Vinny. And he's like, but Dad, I like that one. It had my name on it, and it was a Vinny's hat. And it's all right, buddy. So, yeah, no, he's a lot of fun. I think he's got a good chunk of his race schedule booked, or at least the races that I wanted to go to this point in the year. But now he's started to like pester, well, what about this race, Dad? I can line this person up. I'm like, well, no, I wasn't going to go to that one. So, yeah, who knows? As long as he keeps having fun, I am all for it. All for it. Maybe someday he'll be in the next bucket. And if he isn't in the next bucket, that's totally okay too. But the next bucket that we're going to talk about is on the verge, right? Rebecca, how would you describe On the Verge?
So our On the Verge paddlers are kind of reaching that next, like, loosely, we're looking at to maybe make a jump into the top 10, if they're on the men's side, or if they're on the women's mixed side, being like a top three in their category, 3 to 4-ish of their category, like, pretty consistently. Mixing it up, that's kind of what we're looking for. And this one, I think, is, for me personally, one of the, like, all our categories are good. I can't really pick a favorite, but it's kind of exciting. It's some of these paddlers have been in that young gun category, and now they're starting to kind of be people that we're seeing towards the top of the results sheet. Anyway, that's what we got there. And I guess my first one doesn't really fit that mold of like our youngest paddler in the category. He's actually our oldest one, but age is just a number anyway. And I chose Ed Curley. He's out there somewhere by Wellsbridge, New York. I might have the city wrong, but it looks like Ed is going to be mixing it up in the Triple Crown this year. And if you don't know him, he's the guy that is putting in all the training hours with the guys in the Susquehanna Valley. He's sterning for all those guys. And I've had the pleasure of racing with him at Canton. He was a bow for me, which I think was even like more of a stretch. He's usually not racing bow, but he's fast and he's fit. And just put a motor in front of him and there's the sky's the limit.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe Ed, is give him a horse and let him go, man. That is a grade A sternsman that can definitely run a boat, has seen some things, has done some things, and can still get it done, even though he's, as you put it, perhaps the oldest one in the On the Verge bucket.
He's not a paddler I've met personally, but I always see his name near the top of the results in every race he does.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad because if I remember correctly, Met Ed, he came out with Jake to Ross Comedy a year or two back, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I thought to myself, boy, that you didn't pick the best race. Nothing against the Ross Common Classic, but you didn't pick the best race on the circuit to come Welcome to Michigan in, you know, because he looked like somebody that could definitely get it done. So he did.
I think he did. I want to say he may have raced Spikes with. Did he race Spikes with Ryan Zavarel a few years ago?
Ooh, you might be right.
Specifically, yeah. 2021.
He might have got another one in. Yeah.
We're letting our statistician now frantically scrolling.
I don't have the MCRA results on hand like I do the.
We'll just go. Yeah, we'll go with that. So we'll just go with it.
I probably fake news, but
if we're wrong, we'll put an asterisk on the whole thing. It's okay.
Ed Curley, ninth place. Ryan Zavarel, 2021. Spikes.
They passed me. That's how I knew.
That's awesome. Ryan, who do you have? Who do you have? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask the same thing, Bill.
Well, the On the Verge that I have is a carryover from my last year's list. And after his fourth place showing at Mayo last year, and his training through this off season and strong showing at the Klondike, Noah Vanderveen out of East Taos, Taos City. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure Taos City. He's ready there. I think he's about to make that next big leap in the tier list, as we informally call it. I think he's racing with Rich Louth this year for the marathon. Rich is a top 10 paddler. They will be screaming fast, seeing all the training Noah's been putting in and just picking everybody's brain. I think he's right there. He's on the verge.
Yeah, I think he fits perfectly into this category.
Yeah, perhaps the definition of on the verge. They actually flew by us today, him and Rich did, and I was like, wow. They were moving very well, and then I may have cyberstalked their Strava results, as well as already having the time that they made it to Stefan Bridgen from my fine paddle wife, who happened to pick us up. So I had like all the data and details, and you got to keep tabs on people, man. They were moving, and by moving, I mean they were smoking. Like, they passed us where I wasn't thinking anybody would actually want to pass somebody, and it worked because the boat was up and they were hauling. So they were just flat out going. That's going to be a team to watch between Noah and Rich. Also, shout out to Rich in the Stern Rich Loth. Something that we don't normally see. Yeah, that's a great one. He was actually number one on my list, so he was. Noah has definitely been putting in the work. Probably shout out Josie here, too. I know she's going with her sister this year. But those two have definitely been getting at it, and Noah's on the verge. We're going to see some really great things out of him. So,
who else do you have, Bill?
My other on the verge, it was actually number two on my list of 10, Travis Mecklenburg. When we say on the verge, this is a guy that's actually been, 11th twice, something like that, in the Asaba River Canoe Marathon. He's going to be racing with Matt Gabriel this year in the 120, is my understanding. Spending a ton of time in the Asaba River Valley, as well as the Manistee River right now, paddling with all the right people, gaining the right knowledge and information. We talk about community, and one of the things that he's doing and doing right to tap into is tapping into the community that's going to help him become even better, to make that next step, to learn that knowledge, those little nuances, things of that nature. So Travis was actually my number two of 10. I look for him to have an absolute banger of a year.
And Travis was also on my list this year. I think he wasn't on my list last year, but I couldn't be wrong. but I still will take credit for discovering Travis. So that was he was in my top two the first year we did this, and I'd seen him paddle one time at the Nationals a couple of years ago, and everyone's like, who is this on your list? But I called it. So Travis, like, you didn't even get to go to like one race undiscovered because we happened to be at the same one. But
fate.
That's the ignore the like all the other calls I've made that were wrong, but that one was right. So.
Travis was right, right? Exactly. And for the record, we've got spies and eyes everywhere. You dip a paddle in the water, somebody's going to see you and report back to us.
Probably. Yeah, Travis was number two on my list as well. You know, two 11th place finishes at the marathon plus two top 20 finishes in the General Clinton the last 2 years. And you know, he's racing with Matt Gabriel, as you said. And I mean, if that's not a top 10 contending team, I don't know what is.
And our last two we have in this category were on my list, and they were actually my top one and two. For my number two on my list was Caitlin Minar, and number one was Don Yeager. Both from Texas. Caitlin was kind of like a toss-up on which part of our list we put her in, and we put her on the Verge. She has won in the women's category at the Asabel and has just been really feisty at a lot of the other races. But I don't know. I have no knowledge on this one, but I just have a gut feeling that maybe she's going to try to mix it up mixed again. And she's had some really good results there. So I'm just really looking forward to see what she does this year. And she really has, like, I paddled with her last summer a little bit, and she's got a stroke that reminds me of kind of those really explosive paddlers that are good in shallows. And it's always really excited, especially on the women's side, to kind of see that. Mary Schlemmer is another paddler that really has that. And most of us, myself included, on the women's side, struggle with that a little bit. So I always get really excited when you see someone that's got that natural like punch and power, and that's what Caitlin offers. So, and she's good in the stern. I mean, she's great in the stern. With Dodd, he was actually my number one. And if you've been following the marathon the last couple of years, he's raced with Shannon Isendorf, and they've had two top 25 finishes back to back, which for a mixed team is super impressive. And I actually saw Dodd in the stern in Florida, and I don't know if he wants to be a bow forever, but he's got some like good magical stern juju going on there. And I'd really like to see, I don't know if that's what he's doing this year, like I said, no inside knowledge, but it was really impressive to see, because you can ask a few of the Texans that I am really good at sticking my foot in my mouth and making a comment about how they're missing rudders when they go in marathon C2s, which Mike says is not the thing to say.
How many days was he in the stern down there? Because I heard that report as well. Like, literally, I'm not going to say who I got the text from, but I got a text, and it was, hey, who's this dog guy from Texas, and what's he doing in the stern? And he's really good. And I was like, oh, do you mean Dodd? D-O-D-D? Yeah, yeah, that guy. It was like, let's back up. He's in the stern. And they were like, yeah. Did he go in the stern quite a bit down there?
So I only was with the group a couple days, and I think he was in the stern for both of them. But, man, there is, you know, being a stern paddler is such an asset, especially when you get towards the top and people are trying to mix it up. You know, we kind of have the archetypal bow, like they all kind of, you know, look
me,
the same.
Bow, paddle pull kind hard. Of the same. Yeah.
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 So when you get another stern in there that can mix it up and keep the speed, that really makes things interesting. So I'm really excited to see how he does this year. I mean, he's had great results the last few years as well, but it just seems like maybe a time to move up a tier.
Right on, right on. Well, let's do the ooh, feel good. Do, 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 do. Ryan, kick us off with your feel good, man.
I've got Al Whiting Jr. He's making his return to the marathon this year, as I understand it, with Pete Mead. Al hasn't raced since, I believe, 2016. And I don't know. It's always good to see a Whiting on the river. And, you know, his dad was Amazing Al Sr. And Al Jr. has been racing since, I believe, this 1970s. But I don't know. I just was really excited to hear that he was going to be racing this year. He was one of my favorite paddlers to watch when I started spectating this sport. So,
that's a good reason. I mean, you know, he's definitely an ambassador to the sport and has raced a long time. And it's good to kind of see people coming back. You know, you can leave and do something else for a while, but to come back into the community and be racing is what I hope to be doing.
Yeah, and you know, him and Pete raced back in 2002, I think it was, and you know, they had some strong showing in the MCRA races that year, and unfortunately had a DNF in the marathon. But I think, as Pete said, they had unfinished business, so here they are this year.
For sure, and it's good to see a Whiting back in the marathon. And this thing is kind of like Hotel California. And once you check in, you can never check out. It just keeps bringing you back and bringing you back.
How about
who have you
Bill?
Got, Bill?
Pit folk yo each other a Coke, right? I'm going to go with the gentleman that I paddled with today, Mr. Brian Beers. So I am. It was pretty amazing. We got thumped by him and Chris Kaharick yesterday, and then I got a chance to paddle with Brian today. I had paddled with Brian once earlier this year. He was in the bow, I was in the stern, so we were slightly out of trim, if you know my current proportion for the stern and Brian's stature. Today he was in the stern, I was in the bow, and it really gave me a chance to sit there and go, wow, this guy has some pop. So he does. He's put in a truckload of hours. I believe he's three digits at this point, as far as the amount of hours that he's got in for the year. He's working out, doing CrossFit nonstop. We're talking about it today. It was like, Brian, today is the recovery paddle from yesterday. We're going to go nice and easy to Stefan. We're just going to follow the rookies down. It's going to just be an easy day. And he said, I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to go do CrossFit workout. And then I might go paddle again. And lo and behold, he did, right? But it's one thing if you're paddling a lot. The thing that I really like that Brian is doing this year is he's learning a lot while he's paddling. Are planning on doing the marathon, half of Crazy and Collected, and I think they're going to have a great race as a result of all the preparation work that they're doing.
Can you tell us a little bit about Allison? Ryan, I think she made your list.
She did. I was going to comment really quickly on Brian before I transition. Brian has been one of the paddlers who's been asking me all sorts of questions on like the statistical side, trying to improve his the analytical side, maybe trying to improve where he spot where his weaknesses and stuff are in races or certain sections. And it's always good chatting with him, and because I learn a lot too from him, and he gives me a lot of ideas. But as you said, yeah, he is racing with Allison Marr. She's actually number one on my list. With everything she did last year and everything I've heard she's done this off season, I think we're witnessing the start of a very promising paddling career out of her. And I mean, the sky's the limit, and she's got a great mentor with Brian this year. And yeah, it should be great to see them on the water. They had a pretty good showing at the Klondike couple of weeks back, or I should say a week back, and yeah.
I think what you see with both of them is they're really eager to learn. Allison realizes she has such a really great resource in Brian, and getting to race with someone with a little bit more experience after doing it on a complete rookie women's team last year, which is so impressive.
Amazing.
And then Brian, yeah. And Brian, too, is stepping a little bit out of his comfort zone and going into that mentorship role, but then really trying to, like, learn from it and then, you know, making sure that he's really understanding how the boat moves to help Allison. And I've also paddled a bit with Brian this year, and I can attest to everything Bill's saying is correct. Brian's in fantastic shape and really soaking everything up like a sponge. So I know they have some big goals for this year, and I'm definitely one to be like, have some like easy to get goals, some like stretch goals, and then like your dream big pie in the sky goals. But I'm hoping they can get way up there and get everything they want. And if not, at least enjoy the journey.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yep, exactly. Enjoy the journey. Rebecca, who you got?
So one of my feel-good stories is Ursula Littrell. And she's a paddler from the Asabal Valley. And you may have seen her the last couple of years racing, and maybe you didn't because you just kind of skipped over her name. But she has put in a ton of work to get fit and learn as a paddler and, you know, keep racing. And she's always out there. I don't know if either of you have seen her on course, but she is really, she's just, every time I go, you know, we loop around, I just kind of smile because she's always putting a big effort into it. But she's really used the last couple of years for, I mean, not so much to my generation, but I know, like, even the difference between my mom's generation and mine, like, and use their athleticism and being, like, proud of it versus, like, just trying to always, you know, kind of be small and diminish themselves, you know. And Ursula's, like, super fit and being super strong, and it's I just love to see it.
She has been very impressive on the water. Seeing her in the last two marathons, it just, she has a drive, and she's not just a drive to race, but a drive to better herself, and it's really great to watch.
You know, you nailed it. I was about ready to speak and go, determination, right? Like, if you looked at the Webster Dictionary definition of determination, there's probably a picture of Ursula in there, right? Because she has set her mind to it and made it happen the last couple of years, and she just keeps coming back for more and getting better and better and better. Absolutely an insane athlete, positive role model for women everywhere who are maybe not using, I think what Rebecca was trying to say, is not using their bodies just for, hey, I can be strong, right? It's okay for women to be strong, and Rebecca and Ursula both are strong.
Speaking of strong paddlers, both of you guys had someone on your list that I was like, ooh, I missed one.
I'm so glad you nailed my segue there with the strong, because this dude is strong. That's where I wanted to go next. Jonathan George, for those of you that don't know the name, you probably should. You talk about a strong paddler. They went, him and Bryce Martin went to Camp 10 today and had an absolute banger of a paddle. They're getting ready to do the 70, and I believe he might have went to Florida too, but that dude is strong. Like, I got the E2 down from my super secret spy son last year, and he was like, Dad, John George, that guy is strong. It's going to be very fun to watch him progress this year. Ryan, I know you had him on your list as well. What's your thoughts on Jonathan George?
I mean, he's impressive. I got a chance to see him last week in the Klondike, and just that little stretch by my house, he could just make the boat surge. And he was racing with Roger Moak, and, you know, Roger's a pretty strong paddler too. But I've also seen John and C1 races and other C2 races. And he's just, as you said, just absolutely strong. He's been steadily improving with every race he does. And I think there's big things in store for him this year.
For sure. He reminds me of a almost like a throwback, right? If you really look at the old timers and the sport, the jacks and the people that did the hard manual labor that were just strong as snot. That's John George, man. You got one more feel good on your list, Ryan. Close us out on feel good.
Yeah, I have Jackson Tucker on my list, and I've only met him briefly when he raced the marathon and last year, and I didn't get a chance to meet him in 2022 when he almost raced the marathon, but he impressed the heck out of me last year. Just the ability to control the boat and everything everyone was telling me about him. I don't know. It was just a name that I kept hearing from people. And I believe Rebecca actually had him on her list last year for all the same reasons I have him on my list this year. Just impressive to watch. Relatively young paddler.
Yeah, and he's a little bit hard to place. Like when we look at our buckets. Oops, I'm sorry. Baby Wade. Wade is here.
Sorry, we're good.
Friends. My uncle is joining us tonight. But
future Jackson, podcast host, Wade Davis.
Yeah, future podcast host, young gun paddler in the making. But Jackson has a. Like Ryan said, you know, he's got a lot of, he's kind of recommending him, young guy coming up. And he's a little hard to place because in some ways he's like feel good. And then in other ways, he's also almost on the verge. So, you know, maybe we like underrated Jackson a little bit this year. So that'll be excited to see. But I don't think there's really a bad place to be on this list. So
you could slide Jackson into his own list. It could be feeling the verge. So it could be feeling the verge. This is a guy that could definitely be on the verge. For sure. And he's got a really pretty dog named Billy. Like if you're ever going to abduct me, it's probably a cool dog. So it is. Let's jump to the contenders. Drum roll, please. That's the best we can do on a low budget. And by low budget, I mean no budget show. First on my list, number 10 contender, Michelle LaPrade, racing women's at the 70, I believe, with Edith McCaddy. Racing women's at the Assobal with Seth Tender and a competitor. And that's why I've got her as number 10 on my list and the kick us off person for the contender bucket.
I know Michelle is, she really loves to race women's and is super fit and has been putting a lot of time into kind of developing that power that, you know, women in general have a time getting sometimes right away, but she's got her sights set high. She had a fantastic classique last year with Sarah Lessard, and then the first two legs of the Triple Crown with Sylvie Nadeau. So I know this year we should be looking for her to really be impressive in that women's division.
For sure. Ryan, let's go with another lady on the list.
Yeah, I have Cecily Boogie. In my opinion, she's jumped up a tier in the women in mixed categories. Lots of strong showings in the MCRA races. You know, third Paradise, I believe, last year. She was third. Place in this year's Klondike. She had 12th a couple years ago in the Classique. You know, she's I think she's going to be a contender this year. I believe she's racing the 70 with Danny Medina. There's a lot of good mixed teams racing the 70 this year. But I think they've got a chance. I mean, on paper, they've got a chance to win it. She's still pretty young too, and a native Texan, I believe. And
I got to tell you, I don't get very many chances, Ryan, where I get to tell you you're wrong. Okay. But you're wrong. You had her at 9. I have her at 3 on the list of the top 10 to watch. And she's definitely a 3, not a 9. And 3 is good in this case, you know, better than 9. It's not like it's a 1 through 10 thing. So, yeah, for sure. Paddler to watch as a contender, Cecily Boogie. I think you summed her up, though. What do you got, Rebecca? I know you've got some insight there into Cecily Paddle.
Yeah, Cecily, I mean, she's really developed as a stern paddler. It's been amazing to see her confidence soar. I mean, she's great in the bow as well, but she's just has a lot more confidence than she used to with it. And I distinctly remember after she finished Paradise last year, she's like, we got third. And she's like, that's a really good result for me. But she's like, but I see where we could have got second if I ran things a little bit differently. And just beginning to see those things and realizing where you can make those incremental gains is a big step to go from being on the verge to contention.
For sure. And there again, that goes back to your old, like, women see it as, hey, what can I do to get better? Men are like, I got to paddle harder. No, Cecily is very, very smart. And I think she's seeing the big picture and going to make that contender list earning stick and well worthy of it. So, Ryan, why don't you give us her New York partner since you've got them 9 and 8 on your list?
Yeah, I've got Danny Medina on my list. I mean, what can you say about Danny that hasn't been said? But I'll try and say it again. He puts in a ton of work to be good, and it shows. He improves every year at a tier where it's like, or at a level where it's hard to make big improvements, but he does. And in my opinion, he's probably the most self-motivated paddler I think I've ever met. He's a fun guy to be around to boot. So always big things with Danny, and yeah, perennial top 10 guy at this point in his career, and he's there.
Okay, going to be fun to watch him race mixed with Cecily in New York, right? The mixed prize pool in New York is the standard prize pool, which pays, I believe, 15 pro teams. And then they pay either 1, 2, or 3 spots deep for the mixed bucket. And there's some serious cheddar involved if you're a cheese fan for winning the mixed division out in New York. We'll get into that a little more when we speak specifically on our 70 pre-show. But there is some serious bonus money involved for racing mixed and women's now. So there is. Danny, a great paddler. I was actually talking to, I don't know if it's Brian or who I was talking to, while I was paddling here in the last couple of days. If you had to ask me one paddler who was adaptable, okay, who could get in any boat and figure out how to make it move with anybody, it's Danny Medina. And we were talking about the conversation came up. Oh, it's today because we were in the hassle, which is clearly different. It's a, let's just say it's vintage compared to the modern designs of, you know, a Corbin isn't super new or anything crazy like that, but a Corbin or a 2020 or JD2, JD3, etc. You can put Danny in any boat with any partner and he'll figure out how to match them and make that specific boat move. Doesn't matter what it is. He's that level of good.
Thank you, guys. Said it all. He's one that's been hard to leave off our list. I can say that. Like, he kind of comes in every year. So, Yeah, it's a good one to include. And I've got one that I almost feel a little, not silly putting on, but I don't know how you can have, how you can win, I think, 3 Triple Crown races and kind of be flying under the radar. But I have Jim Pellerin. And, you know, last year he was kind of, whenever we were doing our preview shows, he was like kind of like the next guy, like just not quite in that, like, oh, we really think he can win bucket. And then, you know, now with Steve presumably not racing Triple Crown this year, you've got Guillaume probably has the most wins of any active paddler. But then it's Jim and Mike, I think, are tied at 3. Yeah. And watching Jim last year, you know, at Classique, like I said, you know, we maybe previewed as like, oh, yeah, they maybe could win, but like not realistically looking at it. Even really them being in that top 3, and he put down really impressive days to finish 3rd, you know, beat the winners of the first 2 stages of the Triple Crown. So I'm excited. I believe this year he's going to be returning to the Stern. And man, it's just going to be exciting to see how he does. And I mean, I know he's fantastic, but it's just, I think the last couple of years he's kind of fallen off our radar a little bit, and I'm just really excited to watch and see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting. You mentioned him returning to the Stern. I would assume he's going in the Stern because him and Christoph are signed up for the 70. And I would think that's the order that they would go in, would be Jimmer in the Stern. And that's going to be a really, really fast team. So it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to keep everyone on their toes. And maybe all out of it and he's going bow with Christoph. I mean, I think they're one of those teams that could go either way very well, but presumably he's in the Stern.
Yeah, for sure. But before I jump to my next contender on the list, I got to tell a little Steve Lajoie joke, or I shouldn't say joke. I played a bit of an April's Fools and absolutely had a fellow paddler convinced that Steve Lajoie was coming down here to race spikes with Liam. And this guy bit it hook, line, and sinker. Ah, man, I've never been so proud of myself ever. And I finally let him off the hook on that. But yeah, yep. So, next person on my list, also a Stern paddler with a Triple Crown win. Really interesting contender to watch this year in Mr. Ryan Halstead. Now that Steve is, as we assume or presume, retired, there is a scrambler, a void to become the dominant Stern in the sport. Halstead definitely looks like he's, you know, taking a shot at filling that gap and has been putting in the effort and the energy on the river, sensing that this may be his time. This may be his moment. And it's going to be very fun to watch him rise to the occasion as a competitor and see how he does this year, presumably with 2 really, really fast guys through the first 2 legs of the Triple Crown.
Yeah, Ryan's always right there. And last year just felt like an epic year of racing where I know it had to be so to be so close and not take the crown. But he is, if nothing else, he, you know, goes through that experience and just comes back wanting it more and knows that it's, you know, just a couple things going his way are the difference between 1st and 2nd place. So, you know, he's probably, honestly, on our list, probably one of the most experienced paddlers, at least at the top end. And I'm sure he'll be putting that to good use this year.
Yeah, he's got the speed, he's got the technique, and he's been there before. He's been top 2 in the last 4 Triple Crown races he's done. And, you know, he's got that win in 2016 with Christoph at the marathon. He's probably the paddler turn with Steve stepping away.
For sure. Right. Really what's crazy is we make an interesting discussion there, which would be a whole nother show and like summon the whole pot stirring, like Halstead or Guillaume Blais, who has a pretty fair amount of Triple Crown wins, and we're not even talking about him here. We've got one less contender to go off of tonight. Bring us home, Mr. Ryan Matthews. Who's your last contender to watch?
I've got Ryan Stepka on my list, who's, as I understand it, been paddling for a long time, but he's relatively new to Triple Crown races. He had his place last year in the Classique with Mike Vincent and made a huge jump in the North American paddler rankings, jumping 54 spots all the way to 21st. And I think he could be one of the next superstars in this sport if he keeps racing these Triple Crown races. He's another one of the paddlers where everyone's talking about him, and I get in these long conversations with people, and his name gets brought up, and people are talking. There's a buzz about Ryan Stepka, and I think he's got the talent to be a contender. And yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what else to say other than that.
He's at an interesting intersection of, you know, being kind of new to the high-level marathon racing, at least on the C2 side. But, like you said, he's paddled for many years, and then when he got into marathon, he was living near and training with Mike Vincent. So that... He basically like absorbed this whole wealth of knowledge from Mike is one of the best stern paddlers out there, and he had that mentorship for, you know, kind of in his formative years of marathon racing, and just has really been able to take that up and utilize it. And I did get to paddle with him last summer, and it feels like you're paddling with one of the top guys, which oftentimes when you get a little bit newer that has a lot of raw talent, it feels fast, but it doesn't feel polished, and Ryan's not like that. So I think that's why he's getting so much buzz, because you get in with him and you're like, oh, this guy's the real deal.
Ryan, maybe that's what we'll nickname him. Ryan, the real deal, Stepka, you know? Yeah. That's a pretty good way to put it. And I think that wraps up our show, wraps up our episode. On behalf of the fine folks here at Canoe Race World, we would like to extend our deepest thoughts to the marathon paddling community, who recently lost one of our own in Mr. Mike Pac-Man Packard. I had a few chances to speak with Pac-Man, and I can say one thing with confidence, that Mike would hope that we would all make the community a better place, because that's what Mike did over his years in the paddling sport. So on behalf of the show, I would like to extend our condolences on that and say keep paddling on.
Thank you for listening to the CanoeRaceWorld.com podcast, where we love marathon canoe racing and aren't afraid to say it. Be sure to visit the website at CanoeRaceWorld.com, and don't forget to support our sponsors who make this whole thing possible. Until next time, keep paddling.